When you were growing up as a child, you may have had a parent who read to you a book entitled What People Do that described for you what it was like to be a policeman or a fireman or a nurse or a secretary or some professional person. You may have read a book like that to your children. And it was a good learning tool to teach them about the roles of people in society, what they were supposed to do in their particular jobs. The Bible teaches us what servants of God do. It's a good learning tool for us to use in teaching our children about what it is like to be a servant of God. It's the master record book of learning. As servants of the Lord, I'd like to suggest to you that we must know our role. If you look with me in John's Gospel in chapter 13, I'll give you a moment to find that passage. We'll see in this passage that as those who serve Jesus Christ, who are blessed to serve Him in the kingdom in this life, it's important for us to know what our role is as servants in the kingdom. John recorded for us that Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, washed His disciples' feet. He had taken His garments and reclined at the table again, and He said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him." Knowing our role helps us to be comfortable and rightly suited for what we do in that particular role. It's very important. Some people have a way of viewing things where they're looking, well, what's in it for me? What good do I get? What can there be for me that will bless me, that will help me? What can other people do for me? But as servants of God, we need to have a different mindset about ourselves and be thinking, what can I do for other people? How can I serve them in the kingdom of God? Also, as our role as servants of Jesus Christ, we need to be humble and to be submissive and not ask why every time God gives us an instruction from His Word and reveals a command for us in His Word. When looking at the Matthew's Gospel account in chapter 8, there is a passage showing to us what really a man who understood authority, what he understood. But in chapter 8 in verse 9, this man said, "For I am also a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to this other one, to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it." This is the humble, submissive attitude that we have in the kingdom of God as servants of God. Many people challenge every Bible command that you show them out of the Word of God. And people want to fight with you about what God says we must do as sinful men to have our sins washed away and to be pure and clean before God so that we can stand before Him in judgment having the blood of Christ sprinkled on us, so to speak, where we stand in forgiveness of our sins, where we're not afraid to appear before God in judgment. And people want to argue with you about that. "I don't think baptism is all that important. I don't think it means anything to be lowered into the water and raised again." And they want to argue with you about that. The humble and submissive servant of God doesn't argue with God about what God says we must do to be saved. Thirdly, I think it's important that we recognize our role as servants of God, that we be always ready. in Luke's gospel in chapter 12, if you want to look at that passage, beginning in verse 43. Our inspired writer, Dr. Luke, who also wrote the book of Acts, tells us in his gospel account that Jesus said these words. Chapter 12, beginning in verse 43. Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be a long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. That passage tells me that I need to be ready. I need to be always ready to face my master as one of his servants and not become slack in my duties and not shirk my responsibility and not start looking around to this old world to be comfortable and settled here and enjoy everything that this world has to offer without any consideration whatsoever for my Father in heaven. Workers sometimes, as you know, if you've been on the job site before, workers sometimes kind of slack off a little bit when the boss is not around, when the boss is not watching all of the time. And that's why the inspired writers admonished the Christians in the early centuries in passages like Colossians 3:22 and Ephesians 6:5-6 to be the kind of servant that is not an eye pleaser to men, but to be genuine. To do our work honestly, efficiently, to the best of our ability, knowing that the Lord in heaven is the one who sees us and evaluates the work that we do. And that's very important. We must always be ready. And fourthly, to do our best with what we have. That's a very important principle that's taught to us in a passage like Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14. In Matthew's gospel, 25, beginning in verse 14. Jesus is telling a story about a man who is about to go on a journey and he calls his own slaves and he entrusts his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and each according to his own ability, and then he went on his journey. Immediately, the one who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Amen. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents. And said, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. That'd be something that we would like to hear from our master, wouldn't it? The one that we serve. And likewise, the man who had the 2 talents came and he said, I've gained 2 more talents, and the master gave him the same commendation. Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And then the one who had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and I went and hid my talent in the ground. And see, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said unto him, you wicked and lazy slave. Wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reaped where I did not sow and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more shall be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Such a serious story, but one that describes for us in terms that we can understand how very important it is for us to understand our role as servants in the kingdom. To understand it, to be humble and submissive, and to always be ready, and to do our best with what we have, so that we may be profitable servants to our master, good servants to our master, so that we will not hear him say, "Throw out the worthless slave." What are my abilities in the kingdom of God? And am I using them? Those are important questions for me to answer in my role as a servant of God. And then fifthly, I think it's important that we realize that the job really is never done, is it? The job in the kingdom of God that God calls upon us to do is not ever a job where we can check it off the list and say, completed. There's always something to do in the kingdom, isn't there? Amen. As workers, you know, we look for weekends. Some people say, "I live for the weekend." We look for the weekends. We look for the vacations. We look for the time off. We store up for retirement where we won't have to deal with the hassles of work anymore. It's not that way in the master-servant relationship, is it? In Luke 17, beginning in verse 7, in this passage, our gospel writer, Dr. Luke again, records the words accurately of Jesus Christ for us when he says, "Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he's come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down and eat'? But will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself, and serve me, while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink'? He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So to you, when you do all the things that are commanded you, say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done.'" It's important for us to realize these things, these truths that Jesus is teaching his disciples. If we are his disciples, we want to learn those things too, because we want to be the kind of servants of God that he would have us to be. And these are important points for us to realize about our service to God, but also to realize that the Bible says that we are servants of all, not just servants of God. In a passage like Mark 9 and verse 35, where Jesus was sitting down and he called the 12, his special 12, to him, and he said to them, "If anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all." In Matthew 20 and verse 27, Jesus said, "And whosoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave." And in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 19, Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians and said, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all." That was Paul's attitude. A slave to all so that I may win more. I may win more men, more people to the cause of Christ, to his kingdom. That was his goal. But you see in these three very plain passages that we are really servants of all. If we're to be like our master, we're to be servants like he is. And that, of course, means when we serve other people that we know our role. Just like we know our role as servants of God, we know our role when we serve other people. And we don't fall into Satan's trap who would have us to be the kind of people that would be griping and complaining and saying, oh, something wasn't done for me. Someone didn't do something for me. But that mindset is the opposite of the one that the Lord would have us to cultivate in our own hearts. We must be concerned about other people. We have to know what our role is, and it's helping other people. Not keeping ledgers on what other people do for us. And also, just as it is important in our relationship to God to be humble and submissive in that role, being a servant of all requires that we're humble and submissive also. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility one toward another. Humility one toward another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That makes perfect sense to me, doesn't it to you? In the kingdom of God, for us to be humble and submissive to God and humble and submissive to other people too. And as servants of all, we have to be ready. Because we don't know when the opportunity to serve someone is going to present itself to us.
Amen.
Day or night, we don't ever know. And the opportunities that come on one day may not be there the next day. It's important for us to always be ready. Not having this mind about us that other people are just intrusive on my time and my plans and my schedule that I've worked out for me today. Our brethren can't be an intrusion to us or an interruption to us. But we must cultivate this attitude where we're looking for opportunities to help other people.
Amen.
And other people will see the light of the world living in us, and they will be constrained to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's the means whereby they will be saved. It is the power of the gospel that saves men, Romans 1 and verse 16. And of course, in our service to other people, we have to do the best with what we have. And in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, Paul wrote to those Christians and said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Do the best with what we have. The Lord's blessed us. We need to be careful that we don't sell ourselves short and think within our own minds that we can't do something that we can. It's important. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And of course, realizing that the job is never done. That we don't ever get to a point in our lives where our brethren cannot benefit by something we do or something we say to them. We don't ever get there. There are people that are hurting. There are people that need encouragement. There are people that need a word of kindness spoken to them. It's very important as followers of God, as servants of all, that we take that responsibility to heart among ourselves. There will always be others to serve. Just like Jesus said, the poor you always have with you. The poor will always be here. Other people will always be in our lives, in our contacts, around us, in our community for us to serve. And that's very important. We have a house full of brethren here tonight. And we can serve them by helping them, by encouraging them, by edifying them, by building them up. And let us do that. Let us not get into the mindset where we're thinking, I'm here to be edified for myself. Of course it's important to be edified. But let us cultivate this attitude that I'm here to edify anyone that I possibly can.
Man.
You know, no man will ever make it to heaven by himself, alone, going on his own. I don't think he will. I think he needs encouragement, help, assistance, to be built up. And it's important for us to do that for our brethren. God bless you tonight. Thank you for listening to the lesson. It's a simple lesson, but a very important one. And I hope that you take it with you and we'll grow from it. Think about it this year. And let these thoughts benefit you and benefit others. God bless you. If you're in our assembly tonight and you're not a Christian, we would delight in the opportunity to assist you in your obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As one who believes in Christ, as the Bible teaches, to believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God, who is willing to confess sins and to repent of sins. If we don't repent, we will perish, Luke 13 and verse 3. To be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, as the Bible teaches in Acts 2:38, Mark 16, 15 and 16, and other places, an abundance of scriptures in the pages of the New Testament. Baptized into Christ, raised to walk in newness of life as a child of God, living faithfully to the best of our ability to the teachings of God that are found in His Word. Can we help you do that tonight? We'd be delighted to do that. Please come to the front and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.